Let's give God a hand praise this morning. There was a young boy. He had just gotten his driving permit. He came to his dad to discuss the use of the family car. His father said to him, "I'll make you a deal. If you bring your grades up, study the Bible, and get a haircut, I would talk to you about the car." After about a month, the boy came back and asked his father again, "Can we discuss the use of the car?" His father said, "Son, I must say I am really proud of you. You have brought your grades up, and I've noticed that you've been studying the Bible. But you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited for a moment and replied, "Dad, you know, while studying the Bible, I discovered that Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair." The father looked at him and replied, "And yes, they walked everywhere they went." Many current statistics has shown that there is a shocking lack of basic Bible knowledge among Americans. This is particularly puzzling in view of the availability of Bibles and Bible-related materials in this country. I found out that the Bible has been and still is the best selling book in America. 25 million copies of the Bible are sold annually. Americans have already spent $2.4 billion on Bible and Bible-related books in the year of 2019. However, I read that a recent survey shows that the majority of Americans are biblically illiterate. And believe it or not, the lack of biblical knowledge ranks high among the Christian community. There is two basic reasons why illiteracy rates so high. Number one, Americans simply are not reading the Bible. Number two reason is, shamefully so, many churches do not emphasize learning in their education, learning the Bible and reading the Bible anymore. A recent survey of 1,000 Christians revealed that 80% of them could name the ingredients in a Big Mac. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun. However, only 6 in 10 could name the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Only 6 out of 10 Christians, although they can name the ingredients in a Big Mac, could not name the first 5 books of the Bible. We need to be reminded why we should read and study the Bible. Let me give you 4 reasons we as believers should read our Bible. Number one reason, we are commanded by God to read it. Number two, the Bible is God's living letter to mankind. Number three, the Bible provides the answers to all of life's issues. Then the Bible reveals the future. If you want to know the future, you don't need to go to the palm reader. You don't need to go to a fortune teller, just read the Bible. Amen. The Bible tells the future. It does not predict the future, because a prediction is a guess. But the Bible gives facts about our future. Listen, it is time for the Christian American or Christian America to get back to the Bible and learn its essential lessons. I believe today, church, that our existence as a church depends on our reference to God and His Word. So for that reason, we're going to start a series today, this Sunday, titled Interviews. Interviews. We, Pastor Ryan and I, will spend the next few Sundays talking about biblical characters. We will talk about people in the Bible who has made a difference. Another point of this series will be to emphasize the fact that a powerful God delights in using the weak things of the world to accomplish His purpose. Now, I want you, church, this next few weeks and today, to use your imagination, your spiritual imagination. Listen, Jesus, when He taught using parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So in this series, Pastor Ryan and I are going, we talked about and we wondered what would it be like if we can actually talk to these Bible characters, if we can interview them. Wow. So for the next few weeks, if you would just use your imagination, we're going to talk to and interview people from the Bible. The person that I would like to address today in this message, his name is David. He's from the Old Testament. Some of you may know him. David's story can be summarized like this. It can be summed up like this. He is a nobody that becomes a somebody, who then becomes a fugitive and ends up as the king of Israel. There are 66 chapters that speak about David in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, there are more references to David in the Bible than any other person by name. David's name means beloved. Listen to what Acts 13 and 22 to 23 says. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. He said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Listen, I find David's life story amazing. I find it very intriguing. Now, the historical record of David's life is rather extensive. And it is not my intent today to complete an exposition of his whole life. Time would not permit. But I am fascinated about the life of David. So much so until I had an imaginary conversation with David. I ran into David one day in my mind, and I recognized him right away because he was singing one of my favorite songs. He wrote the song itself. You might have heard it. It's in Psalms 103 and 1. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So I saw David in my mind. And I said to him, aren't you David? He looked at me and said, that's King David to you. I said, wow, it's King David, the great king of Israel, the skilled warrior of the Lord. I said, David, I've read about you. In your 40 years as ruler, you united the people of Israel and led them in victory in battle. You paved the way for your son Solomon to build the holy temple. Listen, David, King David, I read what Jesus said about you in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. He said, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. At that point in my mind, David assured me, saying, yes, I am David. However, I'm not all that great. He said to me, I've lived in riches and I've lived in poverty. I would be in the palace one day and hiding out in caves the other day. I was respected one day and rejected another day. Oh, doesn't that sound like our lives today? I could play the harp and I can enter into the presence of God with worship. And then on another day, I fall into sin and I separate myself from the one that loves me the most. I said, but David, God said that you are a man after his own heart. Please tell me how you can be a man after God's own heart. He said to me, Don, the truth is, my life was a continual mixture of faith and fear, trust and doubt, victory and defeat. I was both directed by the power of the Spirit, and I was also driven by the power of the flesh. How many of you can testify to that today? That sometimes you're so high in the Spirit, but then tomorrow you're just devastated by the flesh. That's life. I was at times obedient and at times disobedient. My life is filled with mountaintop experiences and low valley dramas. I'm slaying giants one day and acting like a crazy man the other. David said I was a highly accomplished musician and songwriter, and I used those gifts to worship the Lord of the universe. I was the one that said things like, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It was me that said, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. In my mind, I was so intrigued by David's statements. I said to him, obviously, David, you have a story to tell. Please tell me your story. David said to me, well, it all started, Don, one day when I was in the field tending to my father's sheep. I looked toward my house and I saw a visitor who I later learned name was Solomon. His name was Solomon. I saw him entering my house, and I thought about the scripture, 1 Solomon 16 and 1. The Lord said to Solomon, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Don, as I stood in the field, I saw my brothers line up side by side outside the house. And I saw all seven of them walk in one by one. They were all dressed in their best armor and in their best clothing. Each one of them looked the part. As Samuel looked at each of my brothers, he thought, surely the Lord anointed him. As they walked in, they all looked like a king. They all dressed like a king. They smelled like a king. But the Lord said, I reject them all. For God does not look at the outward appearance of man, But God looks and he sees the inward appearance of man. For we look at the outward appearance. We look at the outward extremities of man. But God deals with the heart of man. Psalms 44 and 21 lets us know that God knows the secrets of the heart. My father had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So Samuel asked my father, "Is this all of your sons?" And he said to him, "There's one more. He's the youngest, but he's out tending sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him." Church, I want you to know today that whatever your job might be, whatever position you might hold, it does not matter to God, from the lowest to the highest, from the smartest to the least intelligent. God has a job for you. God has a purpose for you. God has put that purpose in your life. So he said, go out and get the youngster, because it has to be true. God promised that he would find a king at Jesse's house. And God is a promise keeping God that cannot lie. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God cannot lie. His word stands for sure. If God tells you it is, then you can take it to the bank. If God tells you that it is, then believe it, because God cannot lie. Neither can his word lie. So Don, they came to me and told me to go to my dad's house. I was ruddy. I was dirty. I wasn't dressed up like a king. I didn't look the part. I smelled like a sheep. But I want you to know, despite of how I looked, despite of how I smelled, how I was dressed, God had something for me to do. And I want you to know, Grace Community Church, regardless of how you look right now, you might have on jeans, you may have on a three-piece suit, you may have on a top hat, you may have on hard shoes, tennis shoes. It does not matter how you look. When God needs you, when God elevates you, then God can use you just the way you are. Then the Lord said to Samuel, after he saw Jesse, "Rise up and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed me, David said, in the presence of my brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me in power. I want you to understand today, church, that you have an anointing on your life, because God has purposed you to do a thing. God has purposed you. You, every one of you has a purpose. Every one of you has a reason for being here. I often say and often use this analogy: you are pregnant with purpose. You are carrying purpose. And I want you to know, you're pregnant, and I know who the daddy is. Jesus is the father of your pregnancy. And I want you to know that it's time to deliver your purpose. It's time to ask God, what is my purpose? What do you need me to do? Here I am, Lord, send me. David is talking to me. He says, "Don, can you imagine what I experienced that day? I was in a remote pasture tending to the sheep, and the prophet said to my dad, 'Send for me.' And I went to my dad's house and I was anointed as king." And he's looking for the next king of his people. You got to know that God is willing to use some folks that are not in the house yet. They're out in the remote pastures. They're in the remote pastures of Lathrop. They're in the remote pastures of Manteca. They're not in the house yet. But God is saying, go get them. Bring them in the house so that I might anoint them for service. It is your responsibility to go out into pastures and get the people. He's waiting to anoint them for service. Luke 14 and 23 talks about a man who had prepared a meal. Listen to what it says. He said, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come so that my house will be filled. I want you to know today, Grace, we need to go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come. We talked about in the last series about being spectators or participators. This is the perfect opportunity for us to participate in the work of God. For it is our calling, our purpose, to go out and reach people and invite them to Christ. Oh, you don't have to clean up. They don't have to dress up. They don't have to look the part. But God said, compel them to come. Amen. Look at what Matthew 9 and 13 says. It says, but go you and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Are you a sinner today? You are invited. All who will come into the house. There is an anointing waiting for you in the house. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Jesus is saying, come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. This is the great invitation, the good news. Come to Jesus and find rest for your weary soul. This is the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. Now, I know that you youngsters might not remember because now you have television, CNN, and you can look at the news on your cell phones. But I remember when I was a little boy, when a news, important news announcement would come out, the newspaper boy would take a stack of newspapers and he would stand on a busy corner. And he would yell, extra, extra, read all about it. I stopped by to tell you today that you ought to hold your Bibles in your hand. And you ought to stand in the highways and hedges. And you ought to shout with a loud voice. Extra, extra, read all about it. Man died for your sins. Man died for your freedom. Read all about it. It's the good news. The good news of the gospel. In my mind, David is saying, God chose me. He chose me because of my heart. That is why he chose me over my brothers. They looked good. They looked the part. But they lacked that special something different in the inner man. David said, I was chosen for my humility. I was chosen for my dependability. I was chosen for my courage. I was chosen for my potential. I was chosen for my purpose. Do you not realize, people, that even before you were born, while you were yet in your mother's womb, Jesus knew exactly what you would be doing today. He knew what your purpose would be, and he knew what he needed you to do. He saw you sitting here today, listening to me talking to David. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows everything about you, and thank God Almighty, he died on the cross for your sins. Somebody ought to give him a hand praise. As God knew the hearts of my brothers, David said, he also knew mine. And I want you to know he knows your heart. He knows your mind. Others see what we appear to be in the human eye. Some people can put on a good face and seem happy and seem excited and full of joy, but in their hearts, they're sad because they don't know Jesus. And true happiness only comes when you know Jesus. True deliverance only comes when you know Jesus. That's why he said, you might have life. But he said, I come that you have abundant life. Oh, it's a big difference from just living and having abundant life. God sees the real me and he sees the real you. There is no shield we can carry, no burden that we can hide, no door we can close that will hide our hearts from his view. That's why he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up to me, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. I tell you today, if you're inside and you're not saved and you have not accepted Christ in your life, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And it's time that you look sin in the face and tell sin, hold on, sin, somebody's knocking at my door. Listen, as I come to a close, I'm listening to David, and I said, David, apparently you have a story to tell. Tell me some more. And David looked at me and said, have I ever told you about the time when the Philistines, a neighboring country of Israel, gathered for war against Israel? They lined up their forces on one side of the valley, and the Israelite army was on the other side. Neither army wanted to make the first move, because whichever attacked first would be at a disadvantage. On one side was the Israelites, and every day they would come and get ready for battle. But then the Pharisees would put out this big old guy. He would stand and look at us, and people would run in fear. He was a giant. He was a big man. He was 9.5 feet tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. The spear on his sword was 15 pounds. David said, Don, have you ever faced something so big, a problem, a trial, a difficulty that seemed impossible to overcome? That was your giant. That is your giant, church. It may not be a 9.5 feet person. Your giant may be sickness, depression, worry. Your giant might be fear. Your giant might be addiction. It might be a habit, an attitude, a sin, a financial trouble. Your giant might be a failing marriage, a broken relationship, a lawsuit, unemployment. But church, we need to face our giants head on and step out in faith, believing that God will overcome our giants. Whatever that means, that might mean eliminating them or giving us the power to go through them. Goliath was mocking the people of God. And I said to the king, allow me to go out and defend against this giant. And the king said to me, yes, you can go. And the king tried to put his armor on me, but his armor did not fit me. He had a lot of success in his armor, but it didn't fit me. I want you to know today, you have to find where your success is. What God did for me and what he brought me through might not work for you, but find out what God has planned for you and what God is going to do for you. So David said, I took my own sling that I know that I had experience when I've already killed the bear, I've already killed the lion. And he took his sling and he slew the giant. I want you to know today that you have a weapon that will slew your giant. It is the word of God. The Bible lets us know that we ought to put on the whole armor of God. In closing, the Bible goes through the different various pieces of armor. But then it talks about one defensive weapon, which is the sword. One weapon that you fight with is the sword, which is the word of God. That is your weapon. It is the word of God. Church, if you get nothing else out of this conversation that I'm having with David, I want you to get that the word of God is what's going to help us. Every situation, every problem, every solution can be found in the word of God. Follow the word of God. Don't stray from the word of God. In closing, I heard a story about a little boy, belonged to a church, and one particular Sunday, all of the young people were to be in charge of the service. And this little boy, Johnny, his job that Sunday was to read the opening scripture. He went to his dad and said, "Dad, can I use the family Bible that's been sitting on the table for years? So that I can read the family scripture or the opening scripture in front of the church?" Dad said, "Yes, you can use the Bible. That's our family Bible. We've had it for years. I'd be honored if you would read from it to the church." The little boy said, "Well, Dad, I don't know what to read. What should I read?" Dad just said, "Read the first thing you see. It'll be fine. God's word is good. Just read whatever you see, just read it." The boy came up in front of the church. It was packed with family members coming to see the youth, guests, and everybody sitting there in anticipation. Little Johnny gets up and he holds the Bible, remembering what his dad said. He looked at the Bible and he read, "Remove the plastic before use." Don't let your Bible be that Bible. Study to show yourself the workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, there's so much more about David. I recommend that in your study time, you read the life of David. David had many ups and downs. David committed a sin, the sin of adultery, the sin of murder. But yet God used him. I want you to know that the moral of this story is, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what sins you have committed, God can still use you. God is not looking for perfect people. As a matter of fact, if you're perfect, you're already dead and in heaven. So God is not looking for perfect people. But God can use you. Amen? Will you stand to your feet all over the church? Just close your eyes. Dear God, we thank you because you use people just like us. You are a God that uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And Lord, we say we are giving up our lives. We're giving ourselves to you. What would you have us to do? What is our mission? What is our purpose? First of all, what is our individual purpose? Make it plain to us. Help us to find it in your word. And then as a church, what is our purpose? What is our purpose in this community? Help us to bind together and do what you want us to do, to be about your business, the great commission, going to all the world, preach your gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bless us that we be workmen and that we go about your business. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. 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 Give God a hand praise.